we just thought, why not do a little 20-25 minute podcast about the League Cup, didn't we? Seemed like a good idea at the time.
It's the tournament to win.
It's the only tournament we could possibly win.
Well, no, there is the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's true.
And the FA Premier League too.
It was funny how our Carabao Cup side, in the second half of that game, played the most fluent football that United have played all season.
Second half. First half was not, was it? It was a little bit of a struggle. The kind of game that I think we probably thought it would be. But second half, they played some good stuff. Fred, pinging balls between lines, you know.
I thought
it was he was very good. No disasters at the back. Baye, excellent.
Van der Beek, different gravy. Like, Van der Beek should be in the first team. Like, they
very, very nice, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you ram him into the first team, because I actually think it's a bad idea to Pogba needs minutes, right? So dropping him to the bench makes no sense. So, and obviously Bruno has to play. So what kind of system can you play that would have all of them in here? Because really it's Van der Beek and Bruno are vying for the same position. They play it in a very different way, don't they? But he was very good.
But I almost think what should have happened so far this season is Pogba should have played the League Cup games and Van der Beek should have played the Premier League games, because Pogba was so undercooked that he's been a problem in the Premier League games, and obviously they're considerably more important. But anyway, that's done now. He's getting more cooked as each game goes on.
He is. He put the cherry on the top of his nicely baked cake with what looked like a spectacular free kick. Sadly, it was going about 5 yards wide.
For a split second.
But let's not talk about that, shall we?
No, let's just relive the sheer joy that 50% of United fans, as it seems to be, would have experienced in that moment. It looked like an absolute belter. Clipped the top of the bar and the underside of the bar and the post and flew in. But yeah, like you said, when the angle from behind makes it kind of clear, not only was it not on target, but it was curling away as well. So
yeah,
it would have been
he shanked one. Anyway, that was in the 80th minute and it rounded off the performance for United. The first half disjointed a lot of the time. I mean, I think we had a lot of what we saw in the previous round, obviously playing a better quality aside, although Brighton had made an awful lot of changes, and it seems that their second 11 is not quite as strong as our second 11. Woohoo! We've won a second 11 battle, finally. But once again, Wan-Mata, I thought, was probably at the heart of the nicest stuff. Him and Van der Beek, actually, some nice combos for in parts in that first half. But it wasn't really until Scott McTominay scored near the end of the half that United were able to then dominate from there. And they really did dominate in the second half. But, Scott, driving run and header, assisted ably by Eric Bailly, who tried to head him in the balls or something like that.
So there will be a substantial number of people listening to this that have played a serious amount of the video game Rocket League, and every single person that's ever played Rocket League knows what a Rocket League goal that was, because very often two players will go to the same for the same ball, one car will hit into the other, which will hit the ball and go into the goal. And this was like, Eric Bailly definitely needs an assist for that, because he added momentum to Scott McTominay's header.
That's why it was such a towering header.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the butterfly effect, it's the Bailly effect. If he hadn't done that, who knows where the header would have gone. I mean, that was Bailly's second telling contribution after a wonderful, incredibly dangerous two-footed sliding tackle in the box that was executed to perfection in the pouring rain. I mean,
exactly. He used the momentum he had. He used the skiddy surface. It was all perfect.
As I said to you in the group last night, literally the only problem with Eric Dyer. He has a lot of problems. Different sort of problems.
Yes. That's for another day. We'll talk about that after Sunday.
Eric Bailly has only one problem. Otherwise, he'd be the perfect defender. It's just that the problem is he is a massive danger to himself and others. that's only issue.
Look, he did all right.
He was great.
I think there's a... I don't expect him to come into the side for Sunday.
He should.
But he should, right? He solves, as we talked about on the last pod, he solves a lot of United's problems. He does have that recovery speed. He is good with the ball. I mean, you always think there might be a mistake in him, but no more than Victor Lindelof,
exactly,
who's a mistake waiting to happen.
Exactly. This is the thing, isn't it? Like the awful thing that we're saying he's not going to come into the side when he's just better than Victor Lindelof at everything except not getting injured. Like, it's not like Lindelof isn't reckless in a kind of intentional sense, but he's bad. So, like, I mean, he makes so many mistakes. I mean, Bailly will do something that causes a problem. Lindelof won't do something and that will cause a problem. So that's a wash. And on every other category, in every other category, you have Bailly over Lindelof all day, every day.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Better pace, better on the ball, despite Lindelof's, that is his best quality, isn't it? His passing, but Bailly's better, better in the air, just better, better organiser. I think, yeah, he. It's just such a shame that Eric Bailly's development has been stunted by repeated injury. Yeah. And you just can't keep faith with him as a result,
no.
Which is true of Phil Jones as well. I mean, he's had 10 years of stunted growth at United rather than three. But hey, look, I thought the rest of the back five also did well alongside Bailly. No mistakes from Lindelof, really. Got himself a stupid yellow card, but apart from that, you know, not much. Dalot did okay on the right. Nothing spectacular, but he got forward, didn't he? I mean, he's obviously out of here. That shop window, playing.
Yeah, and a shop window where it's like the display, the mannequin's arms are on the wrong way round, because he said he did all right, but my God, the bar's low if he did all right. What did he do that offered a telling contribution?
He got forward now and again, no real contribution. But Williams, again, look. If he was left-footed, Williams, he'd be in the side ahead of Shaw, because he's the tool set that he's got and his ceiling is much, much higher than Luke Shaw's. He's just right-footed and wants to come inside all of the time. That causes a problem going forward and defending as well, because he gets on the wrong side of some players sometimes. But he did okay. And Henderson didn't have a lot to do. Made one very good save with his left hand.
Fantastic save.
Everything else, competent, caught balls when he needed to catch them. You know, good with his feet and throwing, made it, you know, threw the ball out a few times, didn't he? The distribution was okay. So, you know, hey, we've got three high quality keepers, no wingers, no left. got about 18 midfielders and a bunch of croc central defenders. It's all about the balance, isn't it?
Poor old Daniel James. I don't even.
Everyone else did fine, right? Whatever you want to say about different levels between them. Daniel James, he's so shot. I mean, the guy needs to go on loan. Yeah. He really does. Whether Sancho comes in or not, it's not doing him any good right now.
No, absolutely not. And I just don't want to hammer the kid. But if we were to analyse the performance, the only way you could analyse the performance would be to hammer the kid, because he's never, ever, 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 ever going to be good enough to play for Man United, ever, is my educated guess on these things, but who knows?
Bielsa wants him at least to play a defensive forward role and, you know, harry people all over the pitch.
I think that'd be perfect for him, because he works unbelievably hard, he's incredibly willing. I reckon a manager like Bielsa would be, a very detail-oriented manager would be incredibly helpful for him, because he has such a limited skill set on the ball that you want to make the absolute best use of his myriad physical assets and his fantastic attitude. I think that'd be a perfect match. Assuming, like, of any Premier League club, that's the one that you go, yeah, there's a role for him to play there.
Yeah, and I think it should happen. Yeah. I mean, it seems that United are holding back on that one in the hope of putting together a deal for Sancho that's, what, 40 or 50 million euros below the asking price. Hey, you know, Santa comes around sometimes. Maybe it'll be in October.
Good luck, lads. I really enjoyed all three goals. I mean, the Pogba goal I only enjoyed for a split second and then was thoroughly disappointed by what had really happened. But it was a glorious moment of collective imagination the first time around. The second goal was a magical masterpiece. I mean, that is fantastic ball in from Fred to Van der Beek. Van der Beek and Mata both full of praise for each other after the game. Clearly, you can see why a kid raised at Ajax who's really techie and smart would love playing with Juan Mata, because Juan Mata's, like, football IQ is through the roof. But it was just fantastic. So a lovely ball from Fred, like, magical little touch from Van der Beek. And then Mata with the kind of very collected little dribble and then nutmegged finish. Perfect. Just very reminiscent of a Van Gaal era Man United goal, I thought.
Yeah, beautifully constructed, some very intelligent players. I mean, I thought actually Fred did well about playing those kinds of balls between the lines quite a lot. And it's that when he's progressive like that, it's so much better than Fred just trying to make calls. I mean, I guess he's got more balance in midfield there. I don't think we know quite what McTominay is yet as a player. Is he a six? Is he an eight? Is he somewhere between that?
Seven.
And... yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, he's better than some sevens that have graced or disgraced that shirt over the past decade or so. But at least there was some nice, there was some balance in midfield, wasn't there? And Fred was able to perhaps bring out the more creative side, and he played a really important role in that goal. It was just, lovely technical goal. Had a little bit of a view of what Van der Beek is. I think one of the things with Van der Beek is he's got the skill set of the touches like that, and his passing range is good. He's not quick, but he's not slow. But it's just the positions he takes up, which is very interesting. He's much less risky in those kind of positions than Bruno Fernandes. Now, maybe he doesn't get double figures of assists, and maybe he doesn't get double figures of goals. And there you get a very different kind of player in the team, but... he helps the flow of the team really well. I don't know how you get them all on the team. If we were to say, look, we'd like all these players in the team. He played a little bit in this game off the left, and perhaps he could do that. Although Marcus Rashford looked like he's coming into a bit of form now, so I don't know. At least it's options. It's options.
You could play.
Isn't it? It's good.
You could play Rashford on the right, though. It's not the end of the world to play Rashford on the right and play Van der Beek on the left. Just I would like to see Van der Beek, Pogba, and Fernandes all in the team at the same time, in a way. But then you also think there's going to be a lot of people taking up each other's, getting in each other's zones, as Van Persie would have said.
Or you could play a diamond.
You can't play this United side. Cannot play a diamond.
It would be interesting to see what like a diamond. You definitely want attacking fullbacks, definitely, because otherwise you're going to have no width and it's very easy to defend against.
There are three things you need, right, to play a diamond. You need not just attacking football fullbacks, but extraordinarily like all action, all round defensive and attacking fullbacks. We definitely don't have those. You need a really mobile holding midfielder who doesn't mind sweeping up after the mess left by his attacking colleagues. Oh, wait a minute, we don't have that. And the third...
Well, McTominay could do that, but it'd be the role he doesn't want to play.
Yeah, and yeah, he could do that. And then the third thing you need is central defenders who are good at defending one-on-one. So I would say that we probably shouldn't, as a collective, be really giving meaningful discussion to the diamond format. Formation.
No, but it's a way of packing them all in. But we'll see what Solskjaer goes with at the weekend. I suspect Van der Beek will be on the bench again because he'll want Pogba in that midfield, in central midfield. But it's options.
Probably worth saying at this point that to people who might be under a misapprehension, because I imagine there's some people here that would have picked up this story and not picked up the kind of retractions as so often happens, but Donny van der Beek's agent has not in any way complained about his time at United. In fact, very positive noises about the relationship with Solskjaer and all these kinds of things. Some guy who knows Donny van der Beek complained about it, and it was picked up by tabloid press and various others as van der Beek's agent. It was parroted on Sky, by the main lead commentator.
By the commentator.
Yeah. And really sloppy, so just worth saying that isn't a thing that's happened. That is, in fact, fake news, literally. So,
what else? I mean, I came out of this game feeling pretty positive about it, right? I know it was Brighton's second 11, but when we've played it, made a lot of changes, we've been really disjointed. And it did take them sort of 40 or so minutes to get into some rhythm, but that second half felt good. United were in control. Created some chances, scored a couple more goals to add to the McTominay's from the first, and they're in the next round. That's all good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, and in fact, if you look at the team that was on the pitch by the end of the game, or close to the end of the game. I don't know if there was a last sub, but Henderson is. I mean, now we already have the best second choice keeper in the league. Now we've got the we've got the best second choice keeper that's ever been anywhere, except maybe when Van der Sar was second choice at Juve. He's superb. Brandon Williams is obviously perfectly adequate deputy for Luke Shaw. He might even be better. Bailly is better than Lindelof. Lindelof and Maguire. I mean, Maguire's better probably by a bit. And then at right back, there's a significant downgrade playing Dalot there instead of Wan-Bissaka. Fred played as well as Matic would have played that role. McTominay, Fred and Pogba is a very sound balance of a midfield in lots of ways. And there's Mata, in a game where he's got space, is an absolutely fantastic asset to have in when he's playing well. It's a fabulous asset. Van der Beek's a fabulous asset. Rashford was playing by the end of that game. So once Igalo and James went off, there was a lot of quality on the pitch, you know.
Yeah, Igalo, it's hard to see what his role in the squad is, apart from these games. I mean, it's just a filler for these games.
Literally. That's it. Yeah. The Igalo that's happening now is the Igalo we all imagined would be arriving. And then obviously he was like superpowered by the joy of arriving at Man United for the first period of his time here. But then that seems to have worn off a little.
Matter's 50th goal for the club.
It's only taken a speedy 6 years to get to 50 goals for a number 10. I mean, listen, in his defence, it has been an absolute nightmare mess. And he's probably played at number 10 seven times in that 6 years. So
he's only got 104 more to go and he gets in the top 10 all-time United goal scorers.
One thing I was thinking was, I meant to look it up, how many people have scored 50 goals for Man United? It can't be that many, really.
I don't know, but it won't be.
There used to be a website where you could find out, but it was made in Flash, and now it's gone.
I'm scrolling through. We've got 21 players who've scored 51 goals or more. Roy Keane is on 51. Matt is coming for him,
as is Jurgen Klopp.
Good for Juan Mata. Yeah. Only 21 players ever in the history of United scored more goals than that. Good for him.
So, quick break, and then we'll talk a little bit about news, and then we don't need to preview the Spurs game. We already did that and mention it, I guess.
Yep.
Back in a sec.
Today's pod is supported by Manscaped, the best in below-the-belt shaving. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and they've just launched in the UK. We've gone years without using the right tools for the job, and you can be one of the first in England to experience Manscaped's life-changing products. No more nicks or cuts. Make your testies their besties. The 7,000 RPM motor has quiet stroke technology. Not sure what that is, but it sounds good. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code NQAT at manscaped.com. That's NQAT at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
If you want more from the show in between shows, check us out on the socials. We are NQATpod on Instagram, Ed's at NQATpod on Twitter, and we are under our real names on Facebook at No Question About That. So, just the Spurs game. I mean, I actually think there is a chance that Bailly plays that game. I think it would be very crazy if he doesn't. Otherwise, I would love to see Van der Beek somewhere in that 11, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to see the side that played Brighton in the league. Did Matic start that game? Yeah. I wonder whether Fred's done enough to earn himself that role. I mean, he's probably not as well suited to that as he would been to the role that he played in this game.
Yeah. I mean, look, Spurs are going to have more functional midfield than they've had in the past. Hey, what a surprise. And so there might be room for doing that. Son is injured. That helps. Bergwijn will come in. He's speedy. I mean, he's going to need someone to sit in between the midfield and defensive lines, because that's where, in the sort of secondary attacker line, where Spurs are strongest. I don't. Bale won't be fit. Son's not fit. So it'll, I guess, be Mora and Son in wide areas.
Mora and who? Sorry. Didn't you just say he's not fit?
Bergwijn.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Bergwijn. Yeah. Moore and Bergwijn supporting Harry Kane. I'm not sure who will play in that sort of attacking, central
Dele
role.
Alli.
I'm assuming it's not Dele. Could be Eric Lamella. It could be just three across midfield. I mean, it's at Old Trafford, but yeah, hey, it doesn't really matter where you play these games anymore. You could be playing them at Hackney Marshes for all the difference it made. But you know, I think Spurs will play in the way we expect Spurs to play, quite a low block, and they'll let United have the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, we just hope that that turns out to be a mistake because our good players play well.
Spurs, we're recording this on Thursday, and Spurs have got a game against Maccabi.
No, they haven't.
They've not
got a game against Maccabi Haifa. Somebody complained on our Instagram saying it would be like saying there's playing a team in London when you're playing a team in Liverpool.
That's just shocking, isn't it? Shocking.
Well, I called.
Clearly, I've demonstrated my complete lack of knowledge of Israeli football. I'm very sorry.
I also called Macedonia Moldova as well. So listen, it was a geographical nightmare all round the last episode.
Yeah, yours could start wars because you know North Macedonia would do a little bit of aggro about that name for a few years.
Oh yeah, wait a minute. So you're saying that yours is completely culturally neutral and not a problematic situation area of the world in any way, shape or form? Listen, we're both dealing in war zones. That's what we do on this show.
That's right. Do you want to talk about the presidential debate?
No, really, very much
not. You know what? I'd like to see a presidential style debate between Ollie and Jose. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be more fun and probably considerably more coherent than the actual real one.
Oh, definitely.
Sadly.
Definitely, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, although I suspect that as much as Jose will be in, say, 40 years or so, or 30.
If you ever gave Jose Mourinho a staggering power of some description, he would immediately do this. But anyway, news, whatever. There's no news. We talked about it a bit.
No, there's only gossip from a couple of days ago. A lot of gossip about Jadon Sancho. United preparing a bid, warming up the fax machine, thinking about probably, maybe, potentially chance to send a carrier pigeon over with a bid that will obviously get rejected. I don't imagine there's going to be any movement on that one. And on Alex Tellez. They were talking about it on the... Talk of the Devils podcast. Andy Mitten was getting his Brazilian wife to pronounce it. All the news coming out of Porto, and they are leaking ferociously, aren't they? Is that United put in an embarrassingly low bid there?
This has been the worst transfer window since 2014, I'd say. Like, just...
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say worst ever, because we haven't had imposters trying to sell us a player yet, but it could still happen.
I wish...
Is Marouane Fellaini available?
I wish they were imposters. The print, the legend on that story is out of control. It is repeated as fact that they were imposters when they were, in fact, lawyers. So it's very boring, but they were not imposters. Sadly.
I don't know. Lawyers. I've had to deal with a few lawyers in my time.
Not content with the people of North Macedonia, Moldova, Tel Aviv. I don't know where Maccabi Haifa is. Is it in a place called Haifa? Sorry if it's not.
I think so.
And lawyers, we're taking them all out. And yeah, this transfer window cannot for United end in the disaster it looks like it's looming to. And I think you're right. I think you're right that this is about, once the outgoings go, stuff will start, the dominoes will start to fall, because that's the thing that makes the most sense, that there's a massive cash issue.
Yeah, and actually, interestingly, Spurs have done more business than we thought they would do. They've obviously brought in Bale, Regi on two positions they didn't really need to fill, but you know, I'm guessing they're Daniel Levy's purchases rather than Mourinho's. He still wants a backup striker that he hasn't got. And the very heavy gossip is that they're trying to purchase Milan Skriniar, who 2 years ago was one of the best left-sided central defenders on the planet, had a really difficult time under Antonio Conte, is no longer first choice, but yeah, the ceiling there is very high. It would be a fine purchase if they got
him. I just feel very sorry for a player who's had a really tough time under Antonio Conte. It's like, oh, thank God, I've got away. Oh, no. Like, where have I ended up?
We should offer them Chris Smalling and Diogo Dalo and Phil Jones and see if they'll take it.
There is a piece of actual news. Andres Pereira has gone to Lazio on a season-long loan. It's interesting because I wonder if they would have gone for that if they'd got signed David Silva, who was just on the verge of going to Lazio before he was like, yoink.
Totally the same level, these two players.
Exactly, that's the crazy thing about it. This is a loan with an option to buy at 27 million euros. So somehow Andreas Pereira's got one season to prove he's worth 27 million euros to Lazio. If wishing made it so.
Yeah, maybe. A couple of bangers, you know, get in with the ultras, make it happen. Yeah. Oh, look, good luck to him. He needs to find a club, clearly, and find a club at the right kind of level for him. Lazio, I don't know whether this is... He'll be a squad filler there, I imagine. Although they've had some change, haven't they, in terms of their midfield over the last couple of years. So we'll see. Yeah.
Good luck to him. And good luck to everyone listening. Have a lovely few days. We are going to record after the Tottenham game and try and get a show out for Monday. I think that's what we should try and do. And for Patreon backers, that'll have a bunch of additional football stuff in, and it'll mostly be about what it would be like to be followed to the toilet by Jose Mourinho. Surely a waking nightmare for any right-thinking human. On that note, we'll see you on Monday.
Mental pictures. Yeah, bye now.